If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
You know, I can tell you that somewhere between 20 and 30% of all new music is somewhat, to some extent, connected to AI.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music, and you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. Yeah! Hey, what's going on? I'm really excited to be here today with my new friend, Igor Appletiv. I was trying to pronounce it right. I think I got close enough.
Incredibly close.
Good. A quick introduction. Igor helps manage Fresh Tunes Global Artist Distribution Network, which is a platform for indie creators that offers with no upfront fees. And, nowadays is a really interesting time to be a musician, an indie musician, especially distributing music, because of platforms like Fresh Tunes, you have the ability to distribute your music across the world, you know, in a few clicks, what used to require a record label and a distribution company. And so really excited to have him on the podcast today to talk a little bit about his experience, you know, working with Fresh Tunes and just an overall state of the union on what it means as an indie artist, how to distribute your music successfully and where things are going. So Igor, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast today.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So maybe to kick things off, you could share a little bit about your journey so far of starting Fresh Tunes, and what do you say is the biggest motivator or your biggest why that's driving you?
It was actually a long way to music industry, actually, but since I was a teen, music always been a safe space for me in music and all its manifestations. So music discovery, music listening, at some point, music producing, collecting records, selling records, promoting gigs, and all that stuff. To different extent, accompanied me during my journey. But before I joined the music industry in 2017, the last one I was working as a producer in the company that was making educational products for professionals, from clinical trials to renewable energy. So it was kind of very, very interesting, but not very my thing. But, I was, curious throughout my life. And at that time, I came across a book by Steve Goodman, a.k.a. Code 9, who is the head of label, Hyperdub label, Burial's label. Sonic Warfare, and basically the book was about how the sound affects humans in different way, mentally, physically, and all that stuff. It was a terrifying reading, but fascinating at the same time, because I always was noticing that sound affects not only my psyche, but also my body. Hmm. And at the same time, I found a company. I instantly applied to it. They were something like music concierge. So we're making sonic brand books for businesses, from sound, noise, ambient to accompany to accompany styles, so their customers and their offline spaces feel in a certain way. And it was incredibly interesting for me, and I found many friends where I still loved it. But the thing is that the business was oriented strictly on offline business, and then the COVID came 2 years later, and the owner decided to sell the company. It has like the software and hardware arms. And at the same time, I got a call from my now boss, Andy, and I couldn't resist. And since then, I'm at Freshchips.
Okay, cool. That's a really interesting kind of like topic around, if I'm hearing you right, the book is called Sonic Warfare, and it's all about how different frequencies or different types of music just affect us like psychologically or physiology.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Curious if you have any sort of like key takeaways from that book that you remember, or like what were some of the findings from that kind of you baked into that branding kit that you did for businesses?
Yeah, you know, basically the book was mostly about how governments control people and affect people. So yeah, okay. it was terrifying, but you know, I was also interested about the effects on my behavior as a human being and not about controlling me. Sure. So the key takeaways from the book were that governments do this and this is terrible. So
wow.
Yeah, kind of it, basic.
And when you say like governments do that, like they're using, or some governments are using music or audio specifically, like to create
audio specifically. Yeah. Audio specifically, sonic weapons to control crowd, to make everybody run or get crazy.
Interesting. Kind of. Yeah, so sort of like it's literally sonic warfare. It's not like symbolic like sonic warfare. It's like sonic warfare. Okay. Wow.
It's literally warfare. But when I joined that first company before Freshtunes, it was not about controlling masses or make everybody go nuts. It was about feeling, make people feel comfortable in a certain day, time in a specific space.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense that the same principles apply to just how music affects us in general.
Absolutely.
There's the reason we all love listening to music and why, you know, it brings us together. And it's it's because of the certain frequencies, of the ways that it sort of impacts ourselves and our communities. Huh.
Absolutely. And music was the main tool there when they created the sonic brand book. So noise, different jingles, sounds, ambience was kind of auxiliary. So music was the main thing. Yeah, and music affects us in different ways, certain frequencies, tempos, tones. So yeah.
Wow. Just imagining like every song. Buy my stuff. You feel like buying my stuff. just like that. Okay, we're recording this. Okay, good. It's new Modern Musician theme song. Cool. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Freshtunes and your role at the company, and maybe you could just speak to like the history of the Freshtunes company, and it seems like there are a lot of different kinds of distribution pathways or companies people could go with. So I'm curious. With Freshtunes, what's sort of at the heart of the company and what differentiates it from other options that people might be considering?
Yeah, and I think just a little bit of a backstory about Freshtunes. So before Freshtunes, there was a predecessor company. It was an IT company making platforms for media companies for their distribution needs. And it was mostly about video ringtones back then. And, it was not about music. But then, if I remember correctly, in 2013 or 14, we signed a few big labels and at the same time, a few deals with now major streaming services and starting delivering music directly to them. And since we were just a just a distribution company for them, but we were working closely, and we noticed that these labels were basically rejecting a lot of artists by their absolutely subjective reasons, and they had reasoning for it. So. And we decided that it would be great to make a company that will give an equal chance to anyone. And, you know, it was also, it feels like a contribution to a whole democratization of the of the creators industry, I would say, because music production and recording became easily accessible, and music education as well. So it was super democratized back then. The same with social media and marketing there. So people, it was a daily routine for everyone, and you don't need any application or anything. So we decided that distribution should also be free of charge for anyone. So this is how we started, and our core services are still free to this day.
Wow. Cool. So what I'm hearing you say is that really one of the pieces at the heart of the company is wanting to create accessibility to all sorts of artists, you know, and making sure that there is a frictionless way for people to distribute. And so the core platform is actually free to use. Cool. So could you walk me through what is the platform at its core, and what is like the free to use part? And of course, you know, one of the first questions from my mind too is, I'm like, I know like to operate as a business, like we, you know, also there'd be a way to generate income for you and provide more value to folks as well. So I'm curious, what do you currently offer for free on the platform, and what are like the pro or the subscription options?
As I said, core services are free. So if you need to distribute any piece of music everywhere, you can come, you can sign up in a second and start distributing your music. Wow. So we do have free plan, we do have subscription. So there are some limitations on the free plan, basically the number of artists, support reply time, review time, payouts time, and all that stuff. And subscription is like a fast track in the airport, so you get everything almost the same day. You can have many artists in your account and all that stuff. So basically, free account is a go-to for those who distribute only their music, and they are not very, like, they don't need super fast, everything super fast.
Mm. Okay, cool. Oh man, that's so awesome. What a helpful resource. And to make that like free of charge to be able to distribute your music is, I can't remember another company that I've heard of that has just like completely free core distribution.
There were actually a few of them, I would say, okay. Just a number of them. And still, so there are still companies on the market who offer free of charge distribution.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I thought that I'd heard some of that do like sort of like a percentage-based deal or something like that. But I mean, you probably know best what the landscape is. But okay. Curious to hear your perspective on what's happening right now and where things are headed as it relates to AI generated music.
I was actually thinking, will we discuss AI at all or not? You know, I'm thinking that it's terrifying and amazing at the same time. And as you may know, Spotify released just a few weeks ago of amount of spammy AI music they have taken down from a platform. I don't know if you heard of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've heard that specific story. But so what happened was Spotify basically announced that they removed a bunch of non-human AI generated songs.
Yes, it's
how do they define spammy?
At least I say so. It's, you know, I wouldn't call it a bunch. It's kind of a big number, okay. number. And we see at FreshTunes that the amount of the generated music that comes to us is growing incredibly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Yes. Do you have any sort of like specifics? I'm just curious, like, is it yeah, how quickly the AI generated music is growing in proportion to like the previous amount?
I can tell you it's somewhere between 20% and 30% of all new music is somewhat, to some extent, connected to AI. It can be purely generated or partly generated. And, it's curious. I'm curious where it goes myself, and I find it terrifying. And we're currently working on implementing a few tools that will help us detect AI music, and we are waiting for, some certain regulation in the industry, from streaming services, from legal entities, and it's a very important question. But as these, AI stuff is flooding all industries, including video, audio, any media at all. Yeah. I think that I believe that the human-made, genuine, honest, proper music is worth more than ever these days, and connection with the audience as well. Because I think that people are getting tired of all generated clickbait engagement farming stuff. So I think it's worth more than ever to create genuine, honest, human, organic music.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It definitely seems like with the amount of music that's getting released all the time and AI music, that it puts more of a premium on music that has that human touch to it. A good point too about how, this isn't just the music industry, but this is pretty much every media-based industry, and just like industry in general is being impacted by AI. And obviously, I'm not a lawyer. I'm guessing that you're not a lawyer either. So it's like, this is one of the things, like, go consult your lawyer. But I'm curious, at the time of us having this conversation, do you know what sort of the legal status is, specifically in terms of copyright for artists who may be using something like Suno or something like an AI tool? To what extent are they legally allowed to copyright it and distribute it through your platform? And is there any sort of impact on or concern about the revenue they generate from those streams? Like, is there no question they're totally okay? Or what's the current state of that whole situation?
I think that the industry is still kind of trying to process this thing, because it's actually flooding everything, and there is no no transparent regulation. And I guess it depends, it varies from country to country. And we are still, as a distributor, always also waiting for the specific steps we need to make, how we need to adapt, how we need to react. But we at FreshTunes decided 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, when we launched a new version of the service, that we are not accepting AI music.
Wow!
At least purely generated music. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement. Make it 2 years ago too.
And
you mean just like programmatically created AI? So like with a human who made it with an AI as like a tool, that's okay?
Yeah. So we are talking about purely generated AI music, and we're currently, as I said, implementing tools to our quality control pipeline to help detect it accurately and correct most of the times. But as I said, the amount is growing, and it is really difficult to handle. But we're working on it.
Yeah, makes sense. It feels like there might be a moment that's happening right now that could be similar to the moment that you went through in the past, where you saw this democratization happening in the music industry and it becoming easier for indies to be able to like create music and distribute it, and how part of that mission was to democratize and kind of open the playing field for everyone to be a part of it. And it strikes me that there's some similarities there with, right now with AI, music. It opens up, it evens the playing field for people who maybe haven't spent their whole life learning how to play an instrument, but they love music. They're a collector. They have a good taste. They know how to create. They know how to produce. And so I can understand both sides of sort of like the kind of like anti-AI music, because it's pretty, like, for someone who has spent their whole life, you know, learning how to play instruments and built like a livelihood and a career, it's kind of terrifying to think that someone who hasn't invested that time can come and potentially take market share. But then it's on the flip side, it's democratizing the industry in a way that's really, powerful and evening the playing field, probably kind of similar to the same reaction that maybe those established players had when indies started to be able to reclaim, their power. They're like, wait, but they're taking, but now this whole thing that we've put all this, time and effort going into is, so I guess that's one part of it. The other part is, the nature of the copyrighted work and training data, and how do you compensate the people who created the training data? Is it fair use? Is it not fair use?
It's a very complex question, and I think the current state of affairs. I don't remember anything in history that we can compare to the AI in terms of accessibility, affordability for anyone. It's literally flooding everything, and then we decided to restrict it. We were not, I don't want to sound like an old fashioned guy, who is just, it's not music. We were actually waiting for certain like instructions, basically, like how to work with that. Because as you mentioned, the training material, how can you compensate original artists and all that stuff. I saw many examples of how people are using AI that helps them in their creative process. Mm-hmm. So I think that it can be of a really interesting and a good use, but the purely generated AI is a very questionable matter.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what I'm hearing you say is that there's a pretty big difference between somebody who's using AI as a creative tool that helps them to express their ideas and their creativity in a more seamless way versus programming a computer just to like auto spit out and generate music completely without any sort of human input.
It really simplifies everything. I think that the last 20 years with the rise of internet, the things are getting more and more simpler. Not in the good way, I think. And if we talk about that they call timeless music, it's super, it's very complex, it's dynamic, it's I never heard anything similar generated by AI. So yeah, I think we'll see. It's developing right now while we're talking, so we'll see what be in a few years.
Yeah, I guess there's one thing for certain. Anything that we talk about right now through the lens of like 10 to 20 years from now is probably going to make both of us look like fools because it's different.
Yeah. So, I remember when I first watched The Matrix back then, when it was released, I was thinking, wow,
it's great movie.
It's a fantastic story. Mm. Now, I don't think it's dystopian. It looks quite real.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly like certain aspects of it that are pretty dystopian. Like the main premise is that we become like batteries for robots and they harvest us and keep us in a simulated world to like take our energy. It is like, that feels like it's not so much sci-fi anymore. It's like, it's within the realm of like something like that could happen. Who knows? Maybe we're in some sort of matrix right now.
The funny thing about the movie that it started when that humans actually developed artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty smart people I know who are fairly convinced that we're in some form of simulation. I think it's called like simulation theory. And it's an interesting idea that the case that I've heard that's the most compelling for it, I would say I'm like simulation agnostic, I would say. But the case that I think is a pretty strong case for why we might be in some form of simulation is that if you look at just like the rate of technology progress in the past 100 years or 200 years, and you sort of like assume that we're going to reach a point where we could create some like indistinguishable experience to what we have right now, but it's simulated, which, I mean, I don't know, it certainly feels like that's going to be a possibility, at least for us to like have that type of experience, then, you know, is it more likely that this is the first time that we've ever developed, you know, something like that, that could, you know, generate, you know, this type of experience? Or is it more likely that we're in some form of non-base reality, but there's like, it's fractal and that there's, you know, different layers to it. So it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely in the category of like, I don't know what's going on, and maybe, you know, 10 years or 50 or 100 years or longer, we'll kind of have a better idea of what's really happening here, what's the nature of the universe.
And it's getting quicker year by year.
Yeah, man, we've gone some interesting places in this conversation. So music, distribution. You know, one of the things that you talked about was about how in this landscape where it's easier than ever to create music and distribute it, it creates more of a demand for authentic connections and community. Could you talk a little bit more about that aspect and how maybe if someone's listening to this right now and they're an artist and they're just trying to get their footing, they're like, you know, gosh, like, yeah, I get it. Where should I focus on developing a strong foundation for my music career? What would you recommend to them as it relates to their community?
You know, I think that this is kind of what's the biggest challenge for DIY artists, if you talk about them mostly, I think now. And, you know, I think it's not an industry specific problem or challenge. It's more of a human one. And I will explain that we work mostly with DIY artists, indie artists, small mini labels and all this stuff. And life and career of a modern musician, independent, is quite difficult. Most of the time you have 9-to-5 job, you have family, you have other obligations and all this stuff. And then someone starts making music and exposing it to audience. He quickly finds out that it's not about only creative process, production, mixing, recording, all that stuff, but also about distribution, about marketing, promotion, Instagram, TikTok, and like you name it, it's numerous things. And I think it's fairly impossible to do on your own. In theory it's possible, but it's quite a difficult thing to handle. And I think the main thing is to prioritize music over everything. And these days we talk about different know-how, different strategies, promotion, all this stuff. But I think the main thing is to invest the most time you have in music and to keep two other essentials, distribution basically, so everyone can listen to it. And the third one is marketing. And by talking about marketing, I mean mostly your socials, to create a genuine, honest, human, organic connection with the audience. Because I think when you invest most of the time in music, rather than chasing, let's say, like spikes of popularity, virality, and all that stuff, at some point you realize that the music is decent enough. You have your follower base, and you can add other auxiliaries like advertisement, you can hire some team for other purposes and all this stuff. So I think the main thing is to take attention to your music, find reliable partner for distribution. There's a lot of wonderful companies on the market, including us, and try to find your own special way to speak to your audience, to your listeners, to make them your followers.
Mm. Makes sense. Awesome. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, probably the most important thing is, one, you know, really focusing on the music first and foremost, and making sure that that's at the heart of what you're spending your time doing, because that's the thing that is going to attract the right, you know, listeners, the thing that's going to provide value. Without that, you know, none of the other stuff happens.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. So having the music, but then also making sure that you have the distribution and the promotion, that, you know, if all you have is, you know, the music that is just sitting in a cave somewhere, but you don't actually share it or put it in front of people, then no one can hear it or listen to it. So you need to have a way to actually, you know, distribute it and get it out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think for independent artists, I just want to, you know, just to bring flowers to a few companies on the market who helps independent artists a lot. And I think, in terms of building your follower base, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, yeah, Instagram, just for everyone. I think investing a decent amount of time in creating something your own unique way, genuine, experimenting with stuff, like not be afraid to do anything new. I think this is the key.
100%. Yeah, I love Bandcamp and SoundCloud. We actually have had both of those organizations on the podcast at one point. And you can tell that they're like you and in your company, that you have a genuine heart for artists and the love of the music and the community. And it seems like that's probably the most important thing, especially in a post-AI world, is having that that community and the culture and the connection. It's one thing that you're probably not aware of because it's not publicly released yet, but I just want to throw our hat in the ring as well with our software as a service Street Team. It's something that's in private beta right now, but we designed it literally for all the reasons we're talking about today, to help artists connect with their fans and create communities. And, you know, sort of like if Patreon and Discord and Facebook groups had a baby, but instead of Mark Zuckerberg owning the baby, the artist owns their fan relationships and they're able to stay connected with the fans. So Street Team is also a great place where, if you resonated with our conversation today, people might be interested in checking out the free plan as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Cool. Well, Igor, yeah, this has been fun. We've gone to some interesting places during this conversation. We've, you know, explored the matrix and you know, the wider impact of this technology, which, I mean, in hindsight, I think it's similar to how we kind of look at the internet, how it's so ubiquitous, and it just feels like, yeah, it's hard to imagine, you know, a day-to-day life without. I mean, the reason that we can talk right now and have this conversation is somehow magically across the world, there's a little portal that we're able to see each other in real time. So it's gonna be wild to see where things go. And yeah, really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and have this discussion. And for anyone who is listening to this right now, who wants to check out Fresh Tunes and distribute some of their songs, where is the best place for them to go to learn more?
Yeah, thanks so much. This is a pleasure for me.
You got it. And last question for you is, if someone is listening to this right now and they want to check out Fresh Tunes and they want to, you know, sign up for one of those accounts, where can they go to get started?
They can go to freshtunes.com, to our website. They can drop an email to me if they have any questions, or reach out to me on LinkedIn or anywhere else.
Okay, fantastic. So like always, with the links in the show notes for easy access. And Igor, it's great having a conversation today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.